Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Tonight, the new details in the parade massacre. Police say the suspected shooter contemplated a second attack hours away from Highland Park, Illinois, but changed his mind. Held without bond. The new information about the suspected shooter as we learn he reloaded twice. Tonight, the first look at his arsenal and our exclusive interview with the ATF agent in charge and the police chief.
There was quite a bit of pre-planning that went into it, and he was quite motivated to carry out the attack.
Remembering the victims, they were grandparents and new parents killed in the July 4th attack. Tonight we hear their stories, including Irina and Kevin McCarthy, and how their two-year-old son survived. A tragedy averted. Police in Richmond, Virginia praise a hero citizen who called in a tip that saved lives. And in Uvalde, a report out today finds an officer may have missed the chance to take down the gunman before the carnage at the elementary school. Tonight's other top headlines, former White House lawyer Pat Cipollone agrees to meet with the January 6th committee behind closed doors. President Biden speaks with the wife of WNBA star Brittany Griner. And Boris on the brink. Will the British Prime Minister resign?
The job of a Prime Minister in difficult circumstances is to keep going.
And the $500 tip that's sure to make you smile.
This is the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell, reporting from the nation's capital.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday night. I'm Jerika Duncan in for Nora. Tonight, authorities say the suspect in the mass shooting of an Independence Day parade in Highland Park, Illinois, confessed during a police questioning. And we're now learning that Robert Cremo III drove to Madison, Wisconsin, where he contemplated another attack. CBS News obtained this picture of one of the weapons allegedly found in the car the suspect was driving. And there are new details tonight about how police were able to apprehend the alleged gunman. He's being held right now without bond. The state's attorney says it's likely he will face dozens of other charges. A seventh victim today was identified, a 69-year-old who attended the parade with his family. Those killed range in age from 35 to 88 years old. We have a lot of news to get to tonight, and CBS's Chris Van Cleve and Adriana Diaz are both in Highland Park. We'll start off tonight with Chris, who has more on how what happened could have been a lot worse. Good evening, Chris.
Jerika, we're learning a lot more about the investigation and the manhunt. There were really two big breaks, and one came from a Good Samaritan who spotted the suspect's call and not only called police, but followed that car until police were on scene. The 21-year-old suspected in the Highland Park 4th of July parade shooting showed no emotion during his virtual court appearance.
There was quite a bit of pre-planning that went into it, and he was quite motivated to carry out the attack.
Highland Park Police Chief Lou Jogman and ATF agent in charge for Chicago, Kristen DiTenio, speaking exclusively to CBS News.
He indiscriminately fired at the crowd of people and, struck people at random.
Investigators say Robert Cremo III fired 83 rounds, stopping to reload his rifle, similar to this one seen here, twice.
My instant thought was this person could potentially get away and not be held accountable for this. And that concern stayed with me throughout the first couple of hours because we had such a poor description, not a good trail.
Was finding the gun and that trace information the key to identifying the suspect?
Absolutely, 100%. No doubt about it. That absolutely set this investigation on a totally different trajectory.
Police say the suspect dropped the gun near the scene as he escaped, disguised in women's clothing.
In this case, we knew the make, the model, the serial number, and then we went through with the tracing process directly to the manufacturer. What FFL, what licensee did you send this to? We spoke to the licensee. Who did you sell it to?
And when heard the name and officers recognized the name, I knew we were onto something.
During the frantic 8-hour manhunt, police now say Cremo stopped to see an acquaintance and drove 2.5 hours to Madison, Wisconsin. In the car with him, this gun and approximately 60 rounds of ammunition. When he spotted another parade, he allegedly considered another shooting.
Do we know why he decided not to attack that parade?
No, we don't know that.
As awful as it was, this could have been a double tragedy.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Are you any closer to a motive, a why?
I don't know that we're going to get a why from him. We really don't have any better understanding today than we did when we first started talking to him about the why in particular.
Police say the suspect confessed to the shooting that killed 7 and wounded 38 others. But despite 2 encounters with police in 2019 involving threats of violence to himself or family members and a series of troubling social media posts, his parents' attorney says they saw no warning signs.
To them, he was just their son. He was a little bit eccentric. He was into music. He was into art. But to them, he was just their son. And there weren't really any red flags.
Prosecutors say they expect to add dozens of more charges, basically one criminal charge for every round fired. But we should also note the suspect passed 4 separate background checks in the process of buying his 5 firearms legally. Jerika?
Chris Van Cleve with that excellent reporting tonight. Thank you. As the community mourns and survivors begin their long road to recovery, we are learning new details about the victims. Here's CBS's Adriana Diaz.
The victims in the 4th of July attack were parents and grandparents, most at the parade with their families. The oldest was 88-year-old Stephen Strauss. His niece says her uncle still went to work every day, calling him a gentle soul. Jacqueline Sundheim was once a teacher at the North Shore Congregation Israel. Her nephew called her an island of solace, who embodied a love and acceptance of difference. Nicholas Toledo Zaragoza was a father of 8. He was visiting family in the U.S. from Mexico. His grandchild says he was adventurous and funny. Eduardo Uvaldo died at the hospital. Seen here on a trip to Paris, he was with his family on the 4th of July.
He was a loving, caring father, grandfather, great-grandfather. He loved his wife, for sure.
Parents Irina and Kevin McCarthy left behind their only child, just 2 years old. Witnesses say the father, Kevin, was killed shielding his son from the gunman's bullets.
He was saying, "Mommy, Daddy," so I went back up to look for his mom and dad, and then I saw the scene, it was carnage.
The toddler was found at the massacre covered in blood. Gregory Ring and his wife, Dana, took him home where he watched Mickey Mouse.
He was happy. He was fine.
He was playing with our smallest daughter.
While they launched a desperate social media search for the boy's family. Hours later, a detective arrived and reunited the boy with his grandparents.
Greg Ring told us they never knew the boy's name and even checked the tag on his shirt in case it was written there. When the detective arrived, the Rings couldn't ride along, so they loaded a car seat into the squad car. A GoFundMe has raised more than $2.5 million, and it says the boy is now surrounded by family and love. Jerika, tonight, there are three victims still hospitalized.
Wow, and I'm sure Dana and Gregory will forever be connected to that toddler. Adriana, thank you. Tonight, authorities in Richmond, Virginia, say it was a tip that helped them stop another planned 4th of July mass shooting. Police said a, quote, hero citizen made a phone call after overhearing a conversation about a planned attack that day. Police Chief Gerald Smith says two suspects are in custody and two assault rifles, one handgun, and 223 rounds of ammunition were seized. Back here in Washington, there's been a major breakthrough for the committee investigating the attack on the Capitol. A highly sought-after witness has agreed to an interview. CBS's Scott McFarland reports former White House counsel Pat Cipollone will meet with the committee.
Three sources familiar with the matter tell CBS News former Trump White House counsel Pat Cipollone will sit with committee investigators Friday behind closed doors, and we're told it will be videotaped.
How important an interview is this for the committee?
I think it's important for the committee. I mean, Mr. Cipollone was in the room. We have testimony from others about what he said and did, but there are some things that, you know, we need to hear from him about directly.
The committee is expected to press Cipollone about what Trump White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson said in her blockbuster testimony last week, that Cipollone warned of criminal exposure if Trump went to the Capitol January 6th.
Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. Keep in touch with me. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable.
The interview was set to happen 4 days before the next public hearing of the committee on Tuesday. CBS News is told that hearing will focus on the mobilization of the mob, including by far-right groups. A former leader of the Proud Boys and the founder of the Oath Keepers have pleaded not guilty to seditious conspiracy charges. They face trial later this year, but both did sit for day-long depositions with the committee several months ago.
Jerika, the committee thinks it can avoid attorney-client privilege issues with Cipollone. It's unclear if he'll be under oath, but it's unlawful to make a false statement to Congress either way.
That's right, and I know you'll be keeping track of it all. Thank you, Scott.
Well, President Biden said today the Justice Department is monitoring the investigation into the shooting death of Jaylen Walker in Akron, Ohio. Biden said he would take, quote, appropriate action if any federal laws were broken. A medical examiner's preliminary report says a coroner found police handcuffed Jaylen's hands from behind after he had been shot more than 60 times by police. A traffic stop is what led to the incident. Police allege they were fired at during the pursuit first. However, Walker was unarmed during the foot chase. A curfew in downtown Akron that had been imposed during protests over Walker's killing has now been lifted. Well, there's new and startling information regarding the mass shooting at a grade school in Uvalde, Texas, which left 21 people dead, most of them children who were set to graduate days later. CBS's Janet Shamlian reports on a series of missed opportunities and lapses in judgment.
Tonight, never before disclosed information. A Uvalde police officer had the gunman in his sights outside before the shooter entered the school and asked a supervisor for permission to shoot, but never received it.
There was no requirement for that officer to ask for permission to shoot. If he felt that that person was a threat to him, to the officer, or to others, the Texas Penal Code allows them to use deadly force to try to stop that person.
Pete Blair is the executive director of the Alert Training Center at Texas State University, which issued the report, it says, at the request of the governor and Department of Public Safety. The report also found the classroom door where the shooter was barricaded was unlocked. School Police Chief Pete Arredondo previously claimed it was locked and that he had spent time looking for keys. Once officers finally entered the classroom, more than an hour after the shooting started, they were no better equipped than they had been up to that point.
Look at it as a dad, as a parent.
Anger and frustration is growing in Uvalde over a lack of answers. The community last week confronted the mayor. A Texas legislative committee is investigating and has been interviewing law enforcement and other witnesses for weeks. Its report is expected soon. Janet Shamlian, CBS News, Houston.
Overseas now to the UK, where British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is on the brink of a political downfall. There have been more than 40 members of his government to resign. CBS's Rami Inocencio has more on what's next.
This is UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's own party turning against him.
Today, I ask him to do the honourable thing, to put the interests of the nation before his own interests.
A stream of resignations started by top cabinet members.
Enough is enough. I believe that point is now.
On top of criticism from the head of the opposition Labour Party.
The only way the country can get the fresh start it deserves is by getting rid of the lot of them.
Johnson looking very much alone under the barrage, but defiantly insisting he will stay on.
The job of a prime minister in difficult circumstances is to keep going, and that's what I'm going to do.
Not for long, says political economist Stephen McCabe.
Percentage survivability, zero.
What happened in the past 24 hours that prompted where we are now?
It's a bit like the sort of the dam, it starts to leak and all of a sudden there's a tidal wave. I think this has been building up. The fact that people were being sent out to say things that were not true.
Boris Johnson has now apologized for appointing this man, Chris Pincher, to a high government role. The prime minister claimed he forgot about sexual assault allegations from 2019. Critics say he lied, the proverbial last straw, after his government's Partygate scandal, in which members of his administration held a series of parties while the rest of the UK was under mandatory COVID lockdown.
There seems to be a party that can't be trusted. Boris Johnson is not a man of his word, and there is no integrity.
So tonight, Boris Johnson is still prime minister and still very defiant, but a committee may change the rules to allow for a fresh vote of no confidence. That rules change may come as soon as this Monday and ultimately could push him out. Jerika?
Rami Inocencio for us in London. Thank you. Back here at home, while millions of Americans are ready to turn the page on the pandemic, the fight is far from over. The CDC says that nearly 1 in 5 COVID patients will experience long-haul symptoms that can last up to months or even years. We sat down with a long hauler who is fighting more than just the effects from the virus.
This is my current medical bills.
42-year-old Renee Larson is a COVID long hauler. Since getting COVID-19 in March of 2020, she suffered one medical ailment after another.
I had a stroke. I've had blood clots in both legs. I've had paralysis in my right arm 3 times.
But Larson says debilitating fatigue upended her 22-year career in HR.
When the chronic fatigue hit, my world changed because I could not function.
Unable to work, Larson lost her job, and unable to pay her bills, she says she lost her home and is now living with a friend. She spends her days seeing one doctor after another.
Everyone has a different take. Every doctor. I have 23 doctors.
I'm sorry, you have how many doctors?
23.
Because of COVID?
Because of COVID. Before this, I only had asthma. So this has changed my life.
There is no universal clinical definition for long COVID, but there are more than 200 symptoms associated with it.
With long COVID, the mantra must be, it is real.
Dr. Ted Long treats people with COVID.
Some of the more common symptoms that I'm seeing are brain fog, fatigue, depression, shortness of breath. But there are some of my patients that have symptoms that are less common, things like hair loss.
Renee Larson is also fighting to get insurance benefits. Larson says she's been denied disability from her employer and Social Security. Attorney Joshua Ben says his COVID clients are often met with skepticism.
A lot of people have a lot of different symptoms, but they're not showing up on the testing. And Social Security is looking for objective testing. It's real difficult.
Difficulties Larson knows all too well.
When most people think about COVID, do you think this part of the story, stories like yours, are being forgotten about?
We're left behind. I think that we're the forgotten people of COVID right now. We're survivors. We're telling our story of how we're still here.
And they don't just want to be here. They want to be healthy.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
At the White House, President Biden and Vice President Harris called Brittany Griner's wife and assured her that the U.S. is working to secure Griner's release from Russia. The basketball player has been held on drug charges since February. Griner wrote to Mr. Biden asking that he not forget about her and other American detainees. Griner's wife posted on Instagram that she is grateful for their commitment to bring her home. The president is expected to reply to Griner in a letter today. Well, a Los Angeles jury today convicted a California man of murder in the 2019 shooting death of Grammy-winning rapper Nipsey Hussle. Eric Holder Jr. showed no emotion when the verdict was read. Prosecutors say Holder shot Hussle at least 10 times. Two bystanders were injured in the shooting. Holder faces life in prison when he's sentenced in September. After a tornado touched down in Goshen, Ohio this afternoon, just east of Cincinnati, the twister damaged some buildings and also tore down trees and power lines. As many as 100,000 people are without power in parts of three states, as more storms are expected tonight from the Ohio River Valley to the Carolinas. NBA player Ja Morant gave a waitress a very nice surprise following a recent lunch with friends. The Memphis Grizzlies point guard tipped his server $500. The moment was captured by a videographer making a documentary series about the player. The waitress at first had no idea who Morant was, but screamed, "You didn't want it!" with delight after recognizing the 22-year-old superstar. What a nice gesture. Morant went on to say that blessings come when you bless others. That's tonight's Evening News. For Nora O'Donnell and all of us, I'm Jerika.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.